You're listening to a podcast from 702.
With Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And to the UK we go. Adam Gilchrist, good morning to you. This Facebook data revelation is getting bigger. Millions more had information stolen.
Yeah, give it another month. I wonder what kind of number we'll get to. But yeah, it's gone from 50 million people who had data taken from them improperly to 87 million people now. The majority in the United States, the Philippines and Indonesia. But that's certainly more than previously disclosed. A lot of the information ending up with the consultancy Cambridge Analytica, who were seeking to influence elections and use the data to pass on in certain directions and so forth. The Facebook chief, Mark Zuckerberg, has basically held his hand up and admitted that they were previously focused on the potential of Facebook and the data and so forth rather than the harm that it might do. And he said that clearly we should have done more. We will be going forward. I don't know if that's quite good enough, is it? I mean, you know, this is a guy who's made billions out of a company that basically was not safe and still isn't for people to put their personal information on. And fine, we all seem to be subscribing and ticking that box that means our personal information doesn't stay so personal. But when it's taken against your knowing, against your will, arguably, that can't be a good thing.
I mean, is there an argument to be made about the fact that we all know that we are really the product, that the more we submit our information, personal information around our habits, where we go, what we do, what we eat, when we sleep, etc., etc., we are the product and we surrender this information for posterity. Why should we complain?
And I don't know. On the one hand, of course, what it means is that you end up being targeted and marketed in a way that might suit you. So, for instance, if you're particularly into outdoor pursuits, it only takes a tiny little bit of data in this day and age, and you've probably noticed it, how suddenly you seem to get a lot of adverts for rucksacks or tents or something because you've shown an interest before. On the other hand, is this not an invasion of privacy? And in some cases, it's not something you really want to have companies storing on you. In particular, you know, if there were problems with work or infidelity or financial issues and so forth, you really don't want to have debt collection agencies contacting you because they happen to know your bank account's gone in the red. There are things that somehow we seem to be subscribing to without really knowing it.
Well, it's an interesting debate, and it's certainly one that's set to continue. Now, Russia and the UK continue to be at loggerheads over the poison issue and the evidence about it.
There'll be more later today as well, because Russia is pursuing this at the UN Security Council, basically arguing that Britain has not produced the proof that it was behind the attack. And at the same time, Russia has continually denied being behind the poisoning. Remember the former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, still in hospital, still in a bad way. They are accusing Britain of Russophobia. A very interesting vote yesterday at the Chemical Weapons Watchdog in the Netherlands. Essentially, Russia had requested a joint investigation. They wanted to be involved in looking at this nerve agent, where it came from, etc. This was rejected ultimately by 15 votes to 6. And the six countries who supported Russia were the sort of usual suspects, if you like, Iran and China and so forth. But 17 countries also abstained. So in all, that's 23 out of 38 not convinced by the UK argument, albeit, yeah, France, Germany, United States and others have jumped in and expelled Russian diplomats over this. But there are rather a lot of countries asking the same question. Hang on a moment, what proof have you got? And so far, the UK government hasn't really produced any.
That's very interesting to see how it all develops. Now, fun and games in the Commonwealth Games. We've already, of course, got our first gold medal.
You have, yeah. You're, well, I suppose in alphabetical order, therefore second in the medals table behind Bermuda, which is rather good. It's good to have a good first day, isn't it?
You had to take the shine off it, Adam. You had to.
Oh, all right. Joint top, as I thanks to Henry Schumann. But I have to say, you know, 71 countries involved and 4,500 athletes. There was a little bit of a surprise from an English perspective at the opening ceremony on the Gold Coast, because in the official brochure, the official programme, England was listed as an African country. Apparently, we have a population of 2 million and our capital city is Banjul. You may have noticed that the details got mixed up with the Gambias. I mean, England, the Gambia, they're quite close together. Apparently, Team England did turn down the offer of a reprint. But As today's Times newspaper in London puts it, Gambia has cool music, cool people, a cool flag, what's not to like? So I think in future we might have the world view from Banjul with groundnut and crocodile news tomorrow.
Adam Gilchrist on the line there. Dare I say it, I won't. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And today's question comes from Toby Shongwana, who tweeted, what's an international driving license and which countries have them? Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get to the answer, we spoke to Mark Smyth, the motoring editor at Business Day.
Essentially, what it's for is because you could be traveling to one of a number of countries around the world where English is not the first language, and so they need to have a translation of your driving license in order to establish that you are entitled to drive. Effectively, it's an endorsement of your driving license on an international level. So when you go to another country, whether it's Europe or elsewhere in Africa, America or Asia, you would be able to arrive at a car rental desk or hopefully not, but possibly be pulled over by the police. You would be able to show them your international driving permit and they would understand it and acknowledge that you are endorsed as a legal driver with the proper qualifications to be driving a motor car. So essentially, that is what the commonly known IDP or International Driving Permit is for.
Congratulations to Toby Shongwana for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates, hello tomorrow.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Alex, glad I caught you. Listen, I have big news. You got the promotion.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. It does involve a lot of traveling, but don't worry. The office is incredible. Fully reclining seat, Wi-Fi, built-in bar.
That's amazing. Where is it?
On board Emirates Business Class, the best office in the sky.
With flatbed seats and a host of features, Emirates Business Class is so much more than just business. Fly Emirates. Experience a new level of comfort.